Well, it's good to be back tonight. It's always a real privilege to come and be in service with you. Oh, whether we're here in Booms or wherever we're at, it's good to be with the people, talk to them about the Lord Jesus, knowing that the coming of the Lord is near at hand, and knowing that it is high time that we'll wake out of our sleep, for our salvation is nearer now than ever before. And the Bible says when they awoke, they saw His glory. And it's not until you awake out of the deep sleep of the night, the darkness of this world, that you really see the glory of God. But it's here. And Brother Taylor sings that little chorus, "He's here, He's here, He's everywhere." And of course, He's been here all the time, as the songwriter says. But the thing is, we haven't been able to see Him because our eyes have been beholden. And as it was when He arose from the dead and was on His way to Emmaus, and He expounded the word, and they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us as He opened the scriptures to us by the way?" And He began from the prophets, coming on down to the time of His coming, and expounded the scripture and unveiled it and told them of the wonderful glory that was awaiting the Son of Man. And He said to them, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said, should not the Son of Man suffered and entered into His glory?" Should He not have suffered to enter into that glory? And then there is a glory, as I preached in one of our services not too long ago, there is a glory for every one of us. And we have to enter into that glory. And God has it waiting for us, but we have to go through of whatever is ordained for us till we reach that place with Christ Jesus. And it is a true fact that He is our Savior. He is nearer than you could ever imagine. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Let's sing that little chorus we sang the other night. I love Him, I love Him, all because that He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Let's sing this now. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the word divine for every promise in the book. One more time together, can we sing it? For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the word divine for every promise in the book, it is thine. Mine. Let's give Him a hand. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, if you're glad to be here, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated. It's good to be here. I appreciate everyone that's out tonight. There's some that follows this ministry. Wherever it goes, they follow it. Whether we are sometimes off a long ways, off a long ways, preaching the gospel from California to Florida, from way up in New Jersey, up in that area, New England states, down through Mexico and Central America and South America, into Alaska, into Hawaii, and all over, everywhere, all around, into the northern states, the eastern states, the southern states, the western states, and all around the different parts of the world, we've been able to share a little bit here and there with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And kind of warmed my heart tonight when our security met us. He was up last night, but he didn't get over to the service. He was telling me tonight, he said, during the day I communicated with the chief of police here in Boone's and said he was just telling me that there was one thing that he really wanted to be was a Christian. And said, and you know what? Said, I want all of my officers, my entire police force, to be Christians and to love the Lord. But anyway, we're glad to be here tonight. Glad to see you and those that follow the ministry, either in my life or somebody's life. They follow the ministry because they are children of God and they love the Lord. And they don't care about this world. They have no desire for this world. They love the Lord, whereas the Bible said, come out from among them, be a separate people, touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. And they are those that love the Lord. And their interest is not in the natural, tangible sources of matter. Though all natural things emanated from God, and it's the act of God's creation. But the thing is, it's contaminated, and God has to run it through the filter before we can have it. Whereas if we seek the Lord, give of that which we have of our time, of our substance, of our mind, of our heart, then the Bible said all things are clean unto us. And God has sanctified all things for us because all things are yours. It's hard for us to grasp the fact that all things are ours. But all things are ours. Everything, the moon and the stars, the ocean, everything belongs to us and we belong to Christ and Christ belongs to God. All things was made for Adam. And when Adam forfeited his right to it by losing it to Satan, that's to Lucifer, and Satan took over and through Adam became the god of this world, confiscating everything and contaminating everything, it put the children of God, those that were to come, in a bad predicament because in this world everything is contaminated to the extent the Bible said the world, all that's in the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, everything is contaminated and it is the lust of the flesh and it must be destroyed. Even the stars must fall from heaven and the elements must melt with fervent heat and the earth and all therein must utterly be burned up. God must purge it and he must completely renovate it and then he must bring forth. Bible said there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Heaven and earth shall pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And the Bible teaches that in that day when that great light comes, as that great light dawns coming down, that there will be nothing left. All of the earth will pass away. The oceans shall pass away. The mountains shall pass away. The heavens will pass away. Everything will pass away. The people will pass away. And there will be nothing left except the bodily members of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they alone, as the body of Christ, dwell in that light, that great marvelous light under which no man can approach. God, the great mighty light, the great understanding that's from everlasting to everlasting. And we dwell in that light being a knowledge, his understanding, his great wonderful, his majesty, his glory. And so we alone dwell in that light. Professors of today, great learned men of today, even mighty men like Einstein, we've said this on numerous occasions, mighty men like Einstein are but like little tiny babies in their diapers. I know that's hard for you to conceive of because that's the best that the earth can produce. But God in heaven knows that's the truth. If I ever breathe the breath of life, he is like a little tiny baby. When it comes to the knowledge of God and the revelation of Christ, that even in my own life, in my ministry, that has been revealed, he is so tiny and so small, he doesn't even register in the eyes of God. He never did even make it to the registration of Almighty God. But ye are the children of God. And now, beloved, ye are the sons of God, and it's given to you to know all things. All things are yours, and it is given to you to know all things. Jesus said, my Father hath made known unto me these things, and these things I have made known unto you, and all that he hath made known unto me, I have made known unto you, or you have opportunity to receive it, to grow on to the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. So you have this wonderful opportunity, and if you don't do it, it's just your own fault. Because God wants you to go 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold to the full measure of the full reward of Christ our Savior. And it's a great, wonderful opportunity today. It's like people that are in school or in college, and they're going on to the diplomacy that they might be able to take over the father's business, or that they might become some great person of renown in the earth, whether a celebrity, you know, whatever it might be. They're moving on toward this goal in life. And this is all symbolic of you and the people of God. You're right now going through your schooling and through your transformating into that wonderful world as to the great heights and dimensions that you can obtain unto. You know, there's great heights in God. A lot of people say, well, we're just going to heaven and that's it. But that's not the way it is, folks. There's more to it than that. See, the Bible said 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. There's much more to it than just going to heaven. You can attain unto great things. The Bible said that one shall be ruler over 5 cities, one over 10 cities. And the Bible teaches that even in the great, wonderful celestial world, not only in the world as to the millennium, the restoration, but in the great, wonderful celestial world, the Bible says there in the presence of God and around the throne, there will be 24 elders that will be kings sitting upon thrones. And even the apostles said to the Lord Jesus, seeing that we have left our families, we've left everything that we have in the world, what then do we have in that we've left all to follow you? And he said, when I sit upon my throne in my glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones beside me, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Bible said in that great, wonderful celestial world that throughout that world, all nations walking in the light of that beautiful, beautiful city whose light is like a jasper stone, the light most precious, even the Lamb, the light thereof, of the understanding as to the great powers of government that will completely envelop the earth. Even in that wonderful, great celestial world, the Bible teaches there will be kings over the nations, and they will come in periodically into the gates of this lovely city where the gates will never be closed by day, and there will be no night in that city. No need of the sun, for the Lamb shall be the light thereof. And they will walk in the light of that city, and these kings will periodically come through those gates, taking their crowns and throwing them down at the feet of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So then there is kings, and then there is a King of Kings. There is lords, and then there is the Lord of Lords. And what a glorious opportunity this is for you to excel to those great, wonderful heights of glory. The wonderful heights of glory. On to a full reward. And then there is also going the other way as to the descent. There are greater punishments. As to just going to hell, that's not all there is to it. There are greater punishments. And on one occasion, Jesus said to one that he called a devil, he said it would be better if you'd never been born. And he spoke of the greater damnation, and these shall receive the greater damnation. As it was like in the days of the Hebrew children, when the king said, heat the furnace 7 times, 1 7 times hotter than it ordinarily would be heated. So we know then that this is a wonderful age. This is a glorious age. This is a thrilling age. There's no words to express it. I was talking to my wife again today. We talked quite a bit since we've been up here, because this has to do with great, great revelation, us being up here, and has to do with the move of God as to coming to an ultimatum. And coming up here, if you're not spiritual, you wouldn't understand. Paul said, I would that you're spiritual. I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. Jesus said, having many things to say unto you, but I can't say them because you're dull of hearing. And not giving the world opportunity to understand, they said, why is it that you speak to these people in parables? He said, it's not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto you it's given. So then, we follow the revelation of Jesus Christ, even to the very present day revelation. The Bible said it's a good thing that the heart be established in that in the present day truth. And so we watch not only as to look at that allegoric thing of the veil over the face of the people in the reading of the Old Testament, as to remove that veil and look and to see as it was when the veil was removed from Rebekah's faith, when she went into the secret chambers, when Isaac could behold the beauty of her face. To the marriage, not only that, we not looking through a glass darkly, but seeing face to face, we see this wonderful glory of God as beholding, as it would be in a mirror, the glory of God, and we being changed into the marvelous glory of God to be one with Him. So we watch the present day revelation. When the scales fell from Paul's eyes, he told the Jews, said, you don't understand and you don't see. And indeed, I can truthfully say today, since the scales have fallen from my eyes, the world as a whole today doesn't understand. They don't see. They don't even begin to understand. With all of their understanding as to the natural things of the world and the brilliance, they've not even got started yet in the spiritual things of God, in the real heavenly things. All they've been looking at is allegoric types and are being caught in the valley of the shadows. And with all of their learning, the Bible said they're ever learning. And never able to come to the truth knowledge or the knowledge of the truth. And though they're ever learning. But to you it is given to know. To you it is given to understand. The righteous shall understand, but the wicked shall not understand. It doesn't matter how much education, how much understanding that they've got. The Bible said this understanding of God is higher above their level of understanding as to human beings than the heavens is the earth. With all they know, it's still that much farther above their learning. And it's given to you to know this great, wonderful light that is shining in the midst of the intellectual darkness of today. The Bible said, they shall not see when good cometh. And the Bible said, they cannot comprehend this light. Though this light shines in the midst of this generation, they cannot comprehend this light. They cannot comprehend this light. For Satan, Lucifer, the god of this world, hath blinded their eyes that they cannot see even the eyes of their understanding. But you being children of light, that day shall not come upon you unawares, for ye shall know when it's nigh, even at the door. I say a lot of times that's as close as anybody can get without coming in at the door. They're knocking, they're right at the door. Said, ye shall know the coming of the Lord even so close that you would know even when it's nigh at the door. And he rebuked the people of his day. He said, you are hypocrites. He said, you cannot discern the signs of the time. He said, you discern the signs of the weather, but you can't discern the signs of the time. He said, you're hypocrites. Which means if you can't discern the signs of the time, then you're in hypocrisy. And you're just making believe with your religion. But folks, we are Christians. We're not hypocrites. We can discern the signs of the time, and we can tell when it's nigh, even at the door. And I'm telling you right now, it's nigh, even at the door, right now. And we need to be spiritual so God can speak to us spiritually. Praying, Paul said, that we should receive the revelation of Jesus Christ, or the spirit of revelation. One spirit, many operations. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. I remember a number of years ago when I started praying for the revelation of the Lord Jesus. I pass this on to my audience occasionally. And tonight I'd like to pass it on to you. I had preached the gospel across the nation. I had fasted. I had prayed. I mean, I'd really tried my best to live a perfect life from the very intents of my heart, from the very reflex of my mind, from the very impulse of my body. I do this always, trying to do this, and have down through the years. But still, I had never come to the revelation of Jesus Christ. With all that I taught, with all that I knew, with all that I understood, I did not know there was such a thing. I had read about it in the Bible, but I did not know of such a thing. And one day the Lord spoke to me and said to me, I want to give you the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this just literally astounded me because I didn't even know what He was talking about. I couldn't understand. And it didn't even register at the time that the book that John wrote is called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. It didn't even register. I had read in the Bible where Paul had spoke about something about the revelation of Jesus Christ. But much of Paul's writings I couldn't understand to save my life. I would read his writings and it was so beautiful and so fascinating. But I just couldn't understand it. But when he took me away, the first thing I thought was, I thought, I'm losing my mind. Oh, my God, I'm losing my mind. You know, because down through the years, we've got these, the old honey heads, like, you know, that they'll say, now, there's some things God don't want you to know. And they'll say, now, don't study too much and don't do this because you'll lose your mind. You know, and I really had that in my heart. I thought, well, you know, maybe they're right. And I found out that's one of the biggest lies that Satan ever told, and them are some of the biggest liars. And some of them, of course, are innocent. They don't know. There's like I was, it's just passed down to them. Old wives' fables. That is fleshly fables. But I went away with the Lord, and I began to talk with the Lord, and I prayed before the Lord, and I slobbered like a mad dog. I mean, I got away. I found me a place in a dugout, into a cave, a basement. And I got in there. It was just plain ground. And I got in there, and I began to pray, and I began to talk to God. And the Lord began to bless me. And I prayed until I was a mess. I mean, I was just slobbering. But I was sincere. And I felt God take hold of my heart. And as these things began to unveil to me, I thought, my God, I really am losing my mind. And you know, I found out I really did. I lost my mind and got the mind of Christ. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody say hallelujah. So, the Lord began to open my mind and my heart, and the scales fell from my eyes. The Lord had struck me down like he did Paul and put me in the ministry. I was real busy. I was busy in the world, just a real young guy, and I loved my wife with all my heart and had one or two little children. And I wanted to build them a home, and I wanted to be successful in life as to provide for them. And I would tell myself, I'd say, nobody's going to have to provide for my little family. I'm going to provide for my own family. They're not going to be a bunch of beggars, you know, and leeches, and somebody have to take care of them. And I was real independent. And I remember even when we were trying to build our first little home, how that the neighbors, as to a fine Methodist community and people, tried to help me. And I said, I don't want the help. You know, I'm not a bum. I make my own way. I realize now how arrogant and ugly that was. But I didn't know it at that time. And I was doing some work on the side, and I was refinishing a floor with somebody, trying to make me a little extra money and trying to build my house. I'd had a lot of experience in a lot of things, from the insurance business to the newspaper business, all kinds of things, and been involved in it. And then I was working on the side here in a construction way. I'd had a lot of experience in construction. So I was trying to do whatever I could, you know, to make an extra dollar. And all of a sudden, while I was communicating with this fellow that was working with me, just a couple of us, he said something and I laughed. And I said something and he laughed. And all of a sudden, he laughed and laughed and laughed and I laughed and laughed and laughed. And then, while I was just carried away with merit, something shocked me. And I said, oh my God, something's wrong here. What are you saying? Ain't that funny? Something's wrong. And I jumped up to my feet. And I ran to the door because I realized that what it was that we were getting overcome by the lacquer fumes that we were using. And when I went to this door, it was probably four or five steps down, concrete steps into the yard, a grassy lawn out there. And when I stepped to the door and stepped to the opening, all this air hit me. And I was filled up with those fumes. And when it hit me, just like that, just like you hit me with a ball bat. And when it hit me, I looked and I saw the end of the world. And there it was before me. The Lord had come in the end of the world, and it jolted and shocked me so bad that I don't know how I got down the steps. I don't know what happened to me. All I know is I went down the steps and I was going round and around and around. And the next thing I know, I hit the ground. And there I lay. And the next thing I know, there was a lady bending down over me with a wet towel, and she was putting it all over my face. And I come to myself, and I looked up, and from that time, I was just a nervous wreck. I was tore to pieces. The shock was so great. So I began to try to find a means of rehabilitation. I said, oh, my God, what is this? What is this? I went to the doctors, and the doctor said, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Man, you might as well took a gun and shot me and killed me because I never knew anything but a doctor. And then I had to turn to another source. And I turned to God and I began to call on God. And I said, Lord, what is this? I don't even hardly know God. I don't know what to do. I was real young. I thought, I don't even know what to do. And I began to call on the Lord. And as I began to call on the Lord began to rehabilitate me and bring me back to reality as far as having control of my nerves and my body and whatever and being stable in thought. You know, and I said, my God, oh my God, what is this? And I found myself saying, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll preach the gospel. And I thought, my God, I don't even know what the gospel is. I don't even know what I'm saying. But nevertheless, the Lord knows. He ordains and he has something for us. And there's a glory that we must obtain unto. And like Paul, he struck me down. And when he struck me down, he finally got me over to the street called Straight. And when he got me over to the street called Straight, I was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin. I was planted in the water, and I came up a new creature. And I came up mighty and great in the mind of God as the days passed on, and the Lord made it greater and more mightier all the time. Well, as I said, when I come to this part of the revelation, I didn't know it. Paul, about 3 years or more in the desert, having learned at the feet of Gamaliel, had such a terrific reputation that going before those great, mighty men, they marveled because they knew of the reputation of Gamaliel and the reputation of Paul, and said, Paul, much learning hath made thee mad. And they thought he'd lost his mind. And so when I read the readings of Paul and I saw this, it really got a hold of me. And I thought, but I don't understand. I'm preaching and I don't understand the writings of Paul. There's many things I didn't understand as to the teachings on adultery, and I couldn't understand that. It was just too much for me. And I couldn't understand the Godhead, and I couldn't understand baptism, and I couldn't understand the thing of Paul being caught up into the third heaven. And I couldn't understand how that there were 70 with Jesus that had cast out devils and then run off and left him when the devils were subject to them in the name of the Lord. I couldn't understand how Judas could obtain part of the ministry and then fall the transgression. Well, needless to say, when I came into the revelation of the Lord Jesus, I understood every bit of it in detail without any problem whatsoever down to the very T. Not only that, but all of the writings of Paul that I never could understand, I understood it beautifully, everything that he said, right straight through. And in the book of Revelation, where John wrote of the revelation of Jesus Christ, I could not understand that. That was such a foreign thing to me that I went through that book so many times, reading this New Testament through on my knees without getting up. You know, just reading it. Maybe I would read, as we would say, 4 or 5 books at one time. And read the whole thing through on my knees. And the book of Revelation, I went through it so many times that I can't remember. I'd read it, I'd go through it all the way through and start back over all the way through and all the way through, and I still couldn't understand it. But when I got the revelation of Jesus Christ, it unveiled all the way from the beginning, all the way through to the end. And not only that, beloved friend, but it's the truth. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. And having given my life to God throughout my lifetime and then stand before you and lie, I would be no exception. But God knows this is the truth. He not only opened up the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, I mean completely through, and made it an unveiled thing so beautiful and so lovely. It astounded me. It staggered me. It was so different from what I'd been taught. It was so different even reading the New Testament and reading it verbatim and looking at the words and understanding what the writer said. When the veil came off of it, it was so different until I couldn't hardly believe what was happening to me. And not only that, someone would say, well, I think that is nothing less than phenomenal. Folks, that belongs to all of us. It's given to all of us freely. Let whoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely. For the Bible said, he that lacketh the wisdom God gives to everyone freely. He doesn't upbraid any. He just gives it if you'll come to him. But that's not so phenomenal as the fact that not only this, but many hundreds and thousands of things of deep mysteries and revelation. Aside from that, that opened up, that came to found itself upon the precious Word of God. You know, the Bible tells us that as to the prophets of old, as to the Word of God, said, and the Word of the Lord came unto the prophets. It was a spiritual thing. It wasn't scripture as to a scribing. You know, we speak of the scribes like Ezra or the scribblers or them that, as scribes, they wrote the scriptures, or the scripture means scribing. So then he said, before they become a scribe or a scripture, that this wonderful word came to them by inspiration and said, all scripture is given by inspiration. And then they wrote it down. And it became as this collection of books. It's called a Bible. King James watching over this and having people to work this thing out, put it all together to where we would have a record. God watched over it to where we could have a record, even through the Dark Age, using the monks to pen this thing and bring it on through during the time of the Dark Age. See, and this Bible is with us. But today, the same great Holy Ghost, the same mighty Christ, even the Christ that was with them, today is in you and I. And this is a greater day than that day. And though the prophets were great, mighty, Abraham and Elijah and Moses and John the Baptist, none greater than John. But folks, nevertheless, notwithstanding, he that is least in your day, he that is least in your age is greater than John. For John was under the law, but you're not under the law. You are the very body and bone of God Almighty as to his body, which is Jesus Christ. And you are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And John was just a prophet. But you are the very God body that dwells in the light of this great, wonderful knowledge of revelation. And tonight when I say some of these things to you, I know that they might be a little shocking to you, because the church is walking in such a small, small measure of what they are ordained unto, being ordained unto the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. And let us go on to be perfect, for every one that be perfect shall be as their master. Overcoming, he that overcometh, I will give to him to eat of the hidden manna. So, when I say these things, I know it's shocking. But tonight, I'm just talking to you a little bit tonight. But tonight, you are great and mighty people. We find in the book of Mark 11:22, I've spoken this numbers of times, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Last night we spoke on faithless generation. Have faith in God. And if I can get around to saying a few little things here, I'd like to bring some things to your mind. I doubt seriously that I'll be able to get to them, because this being the last night of the meeting and the time changing that set us about an hour back anyway. And being the last night of the meeting, I doubt seriously I'll get into those things. But I am going to say a few things here that might stir your interest and might cause you to want to search the scriptures. Jesus said one time to the Jewish people, he said, you think that you have eternal life. You think you have eternal life. Folks, there's a lot of people in the world today, they think that they've got eternal life. And they are positive that they've got eternal life. And they are convinced that they're Bible scholars. And no matter what you tell them, that they are a Bible scholar. And irregardless to what you tell them, they have a level and they can't get beyond that. And there's no way that they can conceive of the thought that you would know more than they know or understand more than they understand. Because that's man. Man has to be like that to keep the stability of his faith as to what he does learn. And so then he finds himself in such a complex situation that he never really grows in the things of God. For until you can realize that there's more in God, then you cannot grow. If you are satisfied with what you've got and you won't listen to anybody to tell you anything else, then you'll never be anything except what you are. Because all that you're going to listen to is yourself and what you can find for yourself, and you'll never grow any bigger than yourself. But when we realize that God is a spirit, and that there's many members to his body, and this ministry God has set for the perfecting of the saints, and we're looking to God and looking beyond the veil of flesh to follow a man as he follows Christ, having no confidence in the flesh, folks, we'll grow taller than trees. We'll get big and mighty. We'll grow up into things we never dreamed that God had for us. For eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man at any time, no matter Einstein, whoever, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But he hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, having made them revelation unto babes such as are willing to learn or pray for the Spirit of revelation. So then, great and mighty things we have. Just talking to you tonight, as Jesus would when he pushed out in the little boat, just tutoring you a little bit, teaching a little bit. See, we know that we are children of God. We know that we're children of God. For the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of the resurrection. And because we're children of the resurrection, then that means that we are more than just a man. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, this may sound alarming to you, but the Bible said, we are they that have no confidence in the flesh. We don't have any confidence in our mother. We don't have any confidence in our father. We don't have any confidence in our brother. We don't have any confidence in our sister. We don't have any confidence in the preacher. We don't have any confidence in nobody. We don't have any confidence in ourselves. Oh, somebody would say, Brother Pike, I teach exactly the opposite of that. I teach you've got to have self-confidence, self-respect, and all these kind of things. All that can go down the drain. Jesus said it, and this is what he said I was to preach. And he that God sendeth will speak God's word, and there is no confidence in the flesh. The Bible said all flesh has corrupted its way before God, and God has laid upon Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. And he was bruised for our transgression, and the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, by whose stripes we're healed. So then the Bible says, this is some strong preaching. The Bible says, as the great multitude followed the Lord Jesus, they followed hard after the Lord Jesus. In doing this, all of a sudden, to their utter amazement, he turned and looked at all of them. And they were in such great admiration of him in his ministry. And as they followed him, he turned suddenly and he looked at them. And he said, let me tell you something, folks. He said, if you're coming after me, you're going to have to deny yourself. And you're going to have to take up your cross and follow me. And wherever I am, there my disciples will be also. And he said, let me tell you something, folks. He said, unless you can hate your father, unless you can hate your mother, unless you can hate your brother, unless you can hate your sister, unless you can hate your own life, he said, you can't be my disciple. And those people were so flabbergasted, they didn't know what to say. They were just literally astounded standing there. This awesome thing had come to them, and they didn't know what to say. And folks, let me tell you, today they still don't know what to say. When you say this to them today, they're just as torn up as ever before. They don't know what to say. And yet we stand as ministers, and yet we stand as people and testify. We do all these things saying that we're children of God. We say that we're Christians. We say that we know. We say that we understand. But nevertheless, we sit in awe. And we think, my God, what kind of preaching is this? This is just the good old-fashioned Holy Ghost preaching, the thing that spoke through the body of Jesus, the wonderful Christ who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What is he saying? What does he mean? My God, how in the world can I follow anybody that talks like that? Then he turned to these others, 70 of them that had been with him preaching, and they came to him and they were rejoicing, and they said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us in your name. And he said, don't rejoice because the devils are subject unto you. He said, but rather because your names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And folks, this is another great problem of today. We've got evangelistic teams around the world. And Jesus said, you can pass land and sea to make a proselyte two fold more the child of hell than yourself. See, and here we are, we're going with this thing, and we have them by the thousands and the tens of thousands that come and they stand and they make confessions and all these kind of things. But I said last night, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. See, like these 70, you might have cast out devils, you might have done all kinds of things. The Bible said in that day they'll say, we cast out devils in your name. Lord, you taught in our streets. Didn't we bread with you? But Jesus, when he came to a certain teaching, he said to them, he said, lest you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any life in you. And that sounded too cannibalistic. And so they left him The 70 left him and went their way. 70 of them. And Jesus turned to the 12 and said, will you also go? And they said, well, where will we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And they didn't know what to do. And here 70 forsook him. See, remember, they had cast out devils in his name. But he had told them, he said, don't rejoice over that. Remember, the blood is on the seat of atonement. And grace is upon everyone at this time. And Jesus died to take away the sins of the world. The sins of all the world is gone right now. There's a day of grace right now. If Jesus saw the sins of the world, he would let the earth open up and swallow them immediately because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But see, all of the world right now with that blood on the seat of atonement, the rain is coming down on the tare and on the wheat. It's coming down on the just and the unjust. And the inspiration is there, and the grace of God is upon all of them. Surely the grace of God leadeth us to repentance, and it's there to show the love and for God to woo them, to draw the church out of them, for all of them that are the elect, as to the predestinated of God, to draw them out. Come out from among them. Be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. And so then this grace is coming down, but it's only a dispensational grace. And the Bible said many of these people that's getting this grace, they're ungodly, wretched people, turning the grace of God as to this dispensational age into lasciviousness. That is, they are lavishly sporting their diamonds, their pearl, their frocks, their faces, their bodies, all of their monetary values and their positions of life, and overlooking the real wonderful things of God. And they're doing this around the world today. So then, these people are spots and blemishes in your feast of love, charity, as you eat of his body and drink of his blood. That is to say, the word being made flesh. As you drink of the Spirit and you eat of the wonderful word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so then, when Jesus said, you must hate all, he was saying all flesh has corrupted its way before God. And you got to be willing like Abraham to give up your very son. I gave up mine. You've got to leave mother and father. And the Bible said, he that will not forsake mother and father for me, he cannot be my disciple. He that loveth wife or children more than me, he cannot be my disciple. See, should I then hate my father, my mother, my brother, my sister, my loved ones? Should I then hate them? Only in the sense of the flesh. If they won't serve God, if they won't go with God, then they're my enemy. They're my enemy. Oh no, someone would say, Brother Pike, not that. They are my enemy. Anybody that doesn't love my Lord, anybody that won't serve my God, anybody that won't follow Christ or follow Christ in me, anybody that won't do that, they're my enemy. They are not my friend. They are my enemy. And they are a bodily temple of the devil. They are a house of prostitution. They are an evil place of lies. And this place as to God's house, this physical being as to this temple that would be the temple of God, they filled it with lasciviousness and lies and cunningness and gossiping and backbiting and the frolics of the world and the love of the flesh, and is in the last days lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And they are my enemy. And they are a house that houses the devil and devils. Like Mary Magdalene, seven devils. Legion, a whole legion of devils. See, and they house devils. And they give place to evil. You know, tonight, if you was housing or allowing somebody that peddled dope to stay at your house, you'd be an accessory after the fact. See, and if you went before the courts of today and the judges, they'd do to you the same way they'd do to the others, because you'd be just as guilty. You'd be just as guilty of all of the killings, of the crimes, all of the evils. And folks, let me tell you something. It's hard for you to conceive of, but you that do not belong to God, you that do not serve God, you that do not love God, you are a renegade in this life. And you are a servant of sin, and you are of the devil and filled with the devil until you prove that you are the elect of God, as to come to God and submit to God and confess Christ and receive Christ. Otherwise, you are the image of the devil. Jesus said to Peter, when Peter just said a few simple words, "Nay, Lord, nobody's going to hurt you." Jesus realized that was the devil and the concern for the flesh, and he looked at him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. thou savest the things that be of the flesh and not the things that be of God. And so then, when you will not serve the Lord, whether it's daddy, mother, brother, sister, whatever it is, if you will not, then you don't belong to God. Jesus said to them one time, they were talking with Jesus, and Jesus communicated with some of them there, saying, I am the Son of God. And they said, we'll stone you to death for that. And Jesus said, why? What wrong have I done you? What have I done that you should want to stone me to death? What good work have I wrought among you that ye should stone me? They said, for a good work, we don't stone you. But said, you being a man, make yourself God, for this we stone you. Now, sometimes this is a little hard to get hold of when we get to this bridge right here. Some folks don't want to cross it. But he said, for what good work would you stone me? You being a man, make yourself God, for this we stone you. Jesus said, is it not written in the scripture that I've called ye gods? If then ye, unto whom the word has come, if ye be called gods, how much more am I a son of God? He was saying, how much more am I a son of God? And they railed on him. And Jesus said, you know what's wrong with you? He said, I am from heaven. They said, we be not children of fornication. We are children of Abraham. He said, I am from heaven. Ye are of this world. He said, not only that, he said, but I was sent of God. I didn't come of myself, but he sent me. And if you'd have been of God, and if Abraham would have been your father, said you would have loved me. I come in my father's name and you receive me not. But if you had been of God, you would have loved me. Said, but you don't. Said, the reason you don't is because you are of your father, the devil. And said, his will you're going to do. Now listen, he said, generation of vipers. He said, hypocrites. He said, fools and blind. Blind guides that strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. He said, you're a hypocrite. Kept saying over and over, ye are in hypocrisy. Ye are hypocrites. You know you produce a product of make-believe, not a product of faith, but an intellectual concept of God to a religious end, as people around the world today, being lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. You don't have my spirit, but they said, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out devils. He said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. The door is closed too, and they knocked. And they knocked. At the midnight cry, all of them were virgins. But some were foolish because they didn't have the oil. The others did have the oil, and they lit their lamp. Whereas the Bible said, in the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. And unless you do the right thing, I'll remove your candlesticks. So then, in this, we see that they knocked at the door. And they said, oh Lord, open unto us. But he said, I never knew you. When the man knows his wife, a conception, a travail, and then a child. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you, because a divine conception of your heart is Mary the Virgin. She conceived of this great, wonderful thing. And we conceive in our heart of this great, wonderful thing. But this is what we have to remember. Though we have conceived, there is a time of travail. There's a time of carrying the child. There's a time that we are to be separated as the women of old that withdrew when they were unbecoming as to their bodily form, because they didn't fit the world until their child was born. As the woman in the wilderness, even the Jews going through the tribulation period as to the purification, a place in the wilderness for times, time and a half a time. The word time, of course, means a year. Times means more than 1 or 2 years. Half a time, a half a year. But anyway, for 3.5 years. See, when we speak of this thing of us, we conceive. We conceive, and therefore we must go through this period of travail. And then a Christ child is born in our life. Like as in the days of Solomon, when it was said that there were two harlots. Remember, we're all harlots. By birth, every last one of us is guilty of the transgression through Adam, as in Adam all die. And so we're all in the harlot form. And Solomon gave this wonderful parabolic thing as a typical thing of the coming day in which we live. And these two harlots, as in the night, their children, they had their children. And one of them during the night smothered the child to death. And during the night took the child from the mother that had protected her and put the dead child over there in her arms. When she awoke, she was alarmed and she recognized her child. And when this was taken before the court of that day as to Solomon the great one that had such great mighty wisdom, nobody could settle the problem. Nobody knew except the two. But when it was taken before Solomon, Solomon said, bring the sword and take the child and divide it asunder. Divide it in half and give this mother half and this mother half of the child. Why would he do that? That sounds so heathenistic. But nevertheless, in that day, if you didn't have a child, you didn't have an inheritance. This was the thing of Judah, if you've ever read the story of Judah, because of the harlotry that she committed with Judah, because he failed to give her a son that she might have a child unto an inheritance. Without a child, no inheritance. See, and the one that was supposed to raise up seed to his brother refused to, and God killed him. As one brother died, another, Jesus spoke of this, of the seven that had had her under wife. And in this, Solomon said, divide her asunder. And the woman whose child it was not, she was contented because half of the child would give her an inheritance, at least as to half. And the mother said, oh no, don't do that. Said, don't hurt the child. Don't hurt the child, just let this woman have it. And Solomon turned and said, give the child to this mother. The child belongs to her. She has love for the child. And it's her child. Forget about this woman right here. It doesn't belong to her. See, and that means, folks, that even though today we're in this world, and there are two mothers in this world, and the two mothers, they have brought forth a child, or they're bringing forth a child, and at the great judgment, it's going to be that one of those children are dead, because in the carrying period of this intellectual darkness, wherein you're carrying a child, as to the image of Satan, or the image of God. And your body is going to come out to be the image of the devil. Whatever kind of spirit is in you, if it's a devil spirit, it will be a devil. Jesus said, I've chose 12 of you, and one of you is a devil. And when the devil got on Peter, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. But if it be a spirit of Christ within you, it makes you a God. It makes you a God. Even if it be the spirit of the devil, you are a God. But you are a God as to the fallen one. But when it is Christ in you, it makes you the very body of the Lord Jesus Christ, even a God. And it makes you that wonderful body of the Lord Jesus Christ that is due to receive the glory of the Heavenly Father, even His own glory. So then you are carrying a child, and there's going to come a birth, and you're going to go through the travail of these things. So then you're either going to die out to God, or you're going to die out to Satan. If you seek to save your life in this world, you'll lose it in that world to come. If you seek to lose your life in this world, you'll gain it in that world to come. So then, giving our body to Christ to whom it belongs and eradicating the impurities as to the infiltration from our body that we might be the very Christ in the earth, as to Paul saying, not I that live, but Christ that liveth within me in the life. I now live in this mortal body in the flesh. I live it by the spirit and life of Jesus Christ, that this heavenly treasures, this wonderful mind, the spirit of God within me to be made manifest in my mortal genes. All right, so then we go a little bit further here and we find out that there comes a time of the birth. Then when the birth comes, if your child is the Christ child, then you have an inheritance. For he, that child on the inside, Christ Jesus, the hope of glory, for he alone was made heir to the glory of God, and you conceive of him, and Christ within you is the hope of that glory that Christ Jesus stood in on the Mount of Transfiguration when he appeared in glory with Moses and Elijah. And so then, this Christ being in your life, you carry your child, and during this dark night of intellectual reasoning, you don't smother your child to death with the lust and covetousness of worldly desires. And as a foolish mother that doesn't care for her little one, and she tries to frolic during the time she's carrying that little child, and she has a stillbirth. So we find out that there is one image as unto death. Your image is unto life. And in that day, you'll stand there as the great image of God, as this child is born within you to make you the very body and bone of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this, you won't have any fellowship with darkness whatsoever. During the time of the carrying of this child, you won't allow it to be marked by the beast. There is a mark of the beast that's coming. And everyone in this world is a beast. You're born as a beast in this world because of that thing that Satan got into in the garden as to the beast. That serpent being put on his belly, and that being a typical natural thing to illustrate or allegorically show us what happened as to the male and female coming forth, and Adam was that serpent that was put on his belly. And he was put on his belly, and he became the head of the generation of a generation of vipers. And in Adam, all die because Adam sinned. And the Bible says because of one man's sin, all die. But when Jesus came, being the beginning of the creation of God, he was the firstborn of the brethren. And he was the beginning of the creation of God. And the act of God in humanity and the body of the Lord Jesus came forth, which Adam was a figure of before he fell from that Shekinah glory as to that Shekinah image in which he was made lifting. Jesus brought that Shekinah image back that was lost, went into our hearts, and this interman has become interwoven with that Shekinah image as being made in the image of God. But that outer man fell, and Satan seized him. And the old tree of knowledge, as from that, Satan entered into Adam, and the worldly knowledge and understanding of that thing of the old tree of knowledge still has in captivity today his seed, the seed of the serpent. And the Bible was said of the woman, her seed. A woman doesn't have a seed, but she did give forth a seed. Conceiving of the great Holy Ghost, the Bible said it shall come to pass, a woman shall compass a man. And so then, this great seed of Christ, the Bible said her seed shall bruise the head of the serpent. And the serpent shall bruise the heel of her seed, or strike at the heel. And we know by that, revelationally speaking, as to the way God looked at it, heaven is his throne. And we that have overcome, we are dwelling in heaven. And he's chosen us out of this world, and we're not in the flesh, but in heaven. And we're there. Say, rejoice forevermore, ye that dwell in heaven. And I wish we had time to go through this and detail it tonight, but we don't. So we know that we're with him. He that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me, heaven being the throne, earth being the footstool. So we know that this part of us that's unchanged is to the bodily beast part. It's in the earth, and Satan got a chance at it through Adam. And that's the heel part. That's the foundation of life there as to this natural world. And the old serpent as to the generation of vipers and the old bonds child that mocked, it's always striking at this part. Though many are the afflictions of the righteous, yet God delivereth him out of them all. But the thing is that we're always striking by the word of God at the head of the serpent. That generation of vipers, that intellectual body that's such a great giant that's reached up even into the heavens through the grace of God. And that the blood is on the seat of atonement, and they are in this reign in the presence of God and these wonderful things, and must be excommunicated at Revelation 12 to the expulsion. And I wish we had time to go into those things. But anyway, I'm just saying that all the way down from the garden, down to Calvary, came that generation of vipers. And John was upset. He said, you generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath of God to come? And Jesus said, you blind and fools, you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. He said to the Pharisees, he said, you are whited sepulchres that do not appear. You're full of dead men's bones, or that is, you're guilty of all of the blood from righteous Abel down to your time. And said, you do not appear. Men cannot tell that you're full of dead men's bones because you are religiously whited and polished. He said, but you are guilty of all of this. And men fall into you unawares. You take them through your philosophy. The Bible said, don't let anyone fool you through vain deceit as to philosophy. After the rudiments and the things of this world. So then we know that the generation of vipers has come. They've had their time. They've had their day. Old brother John was given the axe, and Jesus said, go lay the axe to the root of the tree. And he went there at Calvary, and when Jesus came, John laid the axe to the root of the tree, and he cut that family tree down all the way back to the garden of that old tree of intellectual brilliance and knowledge. Cut it down, and then the tree of life came forth. As Jesus said, if they do this in a dry tree or a green tree, that is me, then what will they do in a dry tree? That is to say, you that don't have the sap of life. For the trees of God are full of sap. Hanging him upon a tree. For the Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Bearing our curse, taking us out from under the curse, out from under the law and the curse. Today we are children of liberty. My, how long it would take, the many hours, just to go into those things and explain them. But the beauty of it is that we are the beginning of the creation of God. Who shall declare his posterity? Now we are the resurrected one, delivered for our offenses. That tree cut down, all of those things gone. And I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, becoming our sin, becoming the serpent that Moses hang up in the wilderness, that we all might look back upon that and know that that was the end of that thing, and that old blood life called the red devil, as to the reproducing of the natural image of that which is the adulterous side of life, and coming over to this as to the righteous side of life and leaving the adulterous side of life. Someone would say, well, what do you mean by that? I mean that Paul says this body was married to Lucifer. It was married to Lucifer. It was married to the first man, Adam, as the image of the devil. Jesus saying that you're of your father, the devil. Your deeds prove that. The child is known by his doings. And so then, in this, we were married to Lucifer. Paul said, having been married unto another, now that that other is dead, the woman is loose from the laws of her husband. And rather than being married to him as to sin that was delivered for our offenses, we are married to Jesus Christ, the one that's resurrected from the dead. And Christ has come into our heart. And it's not Lucifer anymore. It's not the spirit of that fallen angel, but it's Christ. And he hath married this body. And this body now belongs to him. And we are now married to another, not as the adulterer, but we are delivered from the fornications of life. And we are pure and we're holy in spirit and in body. And today, what are we? We are what? We are gods. Jesus said, ye are gods. I went back and checked the Old Testament and checked the writings back in the book of Psalms to see what he meant. Haven't I called ye gods? I knew it had to be in the scriptures. And I went back there and I checked it. And sure enough, he said it. So then, we are gods. Jesus said, ye think ye have eternal life. All the formalities of today. He said to them, you think you have eternal life. It's to the Jews. He said, and in the scriptures, you think you have eternal life. He said, but you need to search the scriptures, for all of those writings are these that testify of me. All of those scriptures, all of those writings was that that pointed to my day. The meal offering and the meat offering and all of these things pointed to me. I am the eternal life of God. I am the seed unto whom the promise was made. And the Jews missed it, in as much as the Bible says to concerning Abraham, the Lord said, and in thy seed all nations shall be blessed, even the Gentiles shall be fellow heirs with the Jew. But they only felt like it was to the Jews, not all nations. But today we know better. Father Abraham, he's our father Abraham, the father of the faithful. And today we are the precious, predestinated, the glorious ones that belong to God. And with God, there's no respect of person, Jews nor Gentile, approved all unto sin, Paul said. And today, we who are born again are the true Jews. He that is a Jew outwardly is not a Jew, but he that is a Jew inwardly. And we're the true Israel, Paul said. And we have the true God, which is Christ, that has come to us. Within us, I'll return, I'll be in you. The world shall not see me, but ye shall see me. We emphasized and magnified that last night. So then, beloved friend, we are gods tonight. What is gods? Gods is that that cannot die. It's in every generation. We cannot die because immortality has been brought to light, and it's been brought to light that this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was. We're now discovering that we're gods, and that means that we are headed for the change of this body by this transformating of mind to the diplomacy of the transfiguring of this body as to the glorious image, for we're already sanctified, justified, glorified already. And now this mind of God is revealing it to us and tutoring through the ministry. It's perfecting our faith in this word that comes to us, where faith comes by that word, as to the change. Enoch being changed by faith that he should not see death. So then that means that we've come to this time of life now, and we're discovering this, and everything else is behind us. And the gold is coming out from the dross. And we're coming out as refined gold. We are now gods. I say this every once in a while. We've been preaching this for a good long while. Never heard this in my life. But as the many things that's been given to us through Christ, it was there. But I noticed since we started preaching it, that it is springing up everywhere. And people are calling each other gods. And not only that, the television artists are beginning to have it and teach it. And they're running into some real problems with it. And now they've even got a movement of it. But, you know, this isn't the way God gave it to us. It's the way they're doing. It is a true fact that they were to discover this. They're to discover that they're gods, but they don't realize it. But many of them have discovered that there are gods in that the word of God came unto them and they were called gods. And that Satan said, and in the day that thou eatest thou of, thou shalt surely become gods or shall be as gods. And so then they are discovering that they're gods, but they're the fallen god. They're the power of Lucifer. And they're the intellect, even to the bewitching of the things that they do today. And they're only going to find out that they're reflectors of this great, wonderful God who is the great light, which is the children of God, members in particular. His body is the tabernacle of God in the earth. These through which this wonderful glory must be manifested. As to outshine the brightness of the noonday called the manifestation of the inward sons of God of which you already are. So we have this heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels. Ye are gods. And I say sometimes this little simple thing that it might make you to understand. I said this a number of times to some of you. And as we've traveled around, when I say ye are gods, a lot of people draw back from that. You know, but the thing is, I illustrate by saying this. If I had a little cat and it brought forth some kittens, we wouldn't have any problem knowing that those little kittens were cats, because a cat brings forth cats. And if it's a matter of an elephant giving birth, we don't have any problem in defining as to what that is, because we know that an elephant brings forth elephants, and a dog, a dog. And if it was a man, if there was a birth as of to a man, we would know that was mankind, though it was a girl or a boy. We would still know that was of man, because the woman really is of the man, of the wife as in the husband, but one flesh. And so then we would know that was a man. But why is it that it's so questionable, even as they question Jesus? If God brings forth something, why is it questioned as to what that is? Why are we so slothful as to be able to define that? Jesus said, I came forth from God. He was born of God. He was begotten of God. The Bible said he was the Son of God. When God created Adam and illuminated him, just being illuminated, not born of God as we are, but just being illuminated, the Bible said it was a figure of him to come and was called the Son of God as long as the illumination was there. And here we are. We are born of the Shekinah glory on the inside, and we confess that we're born of God. I would ask the question tonight. I would say, would you raise your hand tonight if you've been born of God? Would you do that? Would you raise your hand? And you believe that you're born of God with all those hands? If you be born of God, then being born of God, did you come out of man? No. When you was born of a man, you come out of man. If you're born of God, then what did you come out as? If a dog beget dogs and a cat beget cats, and a man begets man, then what does God beget? Gods. We are gods. It's very simply defined. We are gods. Jesus said, ye are gods, but ye shall die like men. The reason that you die like men, this body hasn't been changed. On the inside, beloved, you're already sons of God, John said, and it's going to be made manifest as to the change of this body. It's coming. The redemption of the body is already here. He's paid for it with his blood. It's the purchased possession. The spirit is the earnestness of the inheritance, and we are developing into Christ on the inside the full measure to the diplomacy that we might be transfigured as he was when he appeared in glory. Not by way of grave or death. There's a generation that will never go to the grave. For Jesus completed that course from the manger of this whole stable, this world, to the great glory of God, and then stepped down to go to the cross so you wouldn't have to go by the way of the grave. So this is Paul's mystery. We expounded that only to one that I know of, that's my wife. It's a great mystery. Many things to be said about it. But we're coming into the age of it now. So then you're gods. Now, if you be gods, do you feel that you are God today and tomorrow you are a backslidden man and a woman again? Is God God one day or every day? Is a dog one day or every day? Is a man one day or every day? Is a God one day or every day? How can gods sin? How can you be a son of God and then sin? See, if I had time to break it down, which we don't, we're fixing to close now, I could easily show you. I can say this much in simplicity, that sin is the transgression of the law. And where there's no law, there is no transgression. And where there is no transgression, there is no sin. And where there is no sin, there is no death. For sting, the sting of death is sin. And without the sting of death, the grave doesn't have any victory. Oh, sting, oh, death, where's thy sting? Grave, where's thy victory? So then we know that we're not under the law. Jesus fulfilled every jot and tittle, saying to them, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot nor tittle of the law shall pass till all be fulfilled. Think not that I've come to destroy the law and the prophets, but rather to fulfill them. He went to Calvary, fulfilled every jot and tittle. There was not one thing that they could put their finger on, but what he fulfilled it. Everything. And the law was folded up and laid away. And Paul said, we therefore conclude that now in our day that we're justified by grace, by faith. By grace through faith are you saved, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast, but we are free from the law, and we're saved by grace without the deeds of the law. And when somebody teaches the deeds of the law unto salvation, the Bible said they are a heretic, and after the first and second admonishing as to admonition, reject them because they're heretics. All right, so then we know where we're at tonight. We know where we've been, we've come from. We know where we're at, we know where we're going. Because we are gods, we're mighty gods to rule and reign throughout eternity. Somebody say hallelujah. I want you to stand with me. We're going to sing a little chorus together. It's my pleasure to be here, talk with you. You've been a congregation through all three of these services. It has been very attentive, very, very observing. Showed the greatest kind of interest. And I'm not surprised. In the Carolinas, it looks like that we run into this. Almost in every place in the Carolinas, especially North Carolina. And it seems like that these people in North Carolina, there's something about them that, irregardless to the fact that I know that many of them, hundreds of them, don't live for God and don't follow God, but they're still greatly God-conscious with a fear of God for some reason. And they have the greatest kind of reverence for God. And I trust that because of that, that God will move mightily among you and throughout the Carolinas, and that you will be saved, and many hundreds and thousands of people, as the Carolinians, shall receive this wonderful grace of God. I'm grateful. This is very unusual. We usually pay for our own buildings or whatever. Oh, we have people that pay for our radio broadcast and the different things, and people get together. They pay for us a place to have meeting. But it's kind of unusual in this way because Brother Green himself wanted this ministry up here and paid for this. So it's really something. We're so grateful to he and Sister Green and their little family. God has really blessed them, prospered them. They're very dear to us, and there's others that are very dear to us. We love you. We appreciate you. And many of the people that we speak to from different time to time in different places, they're our children in God. They're our spiritual children. Paul said, as a minister, we must present you to God, and we seek to do it without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, and we seek to present you body, soul, and spirit blameless. A lot of times people don't understand that kind of talk, but you've got to remember that there are angelic beings that don't have a body. There are cherubs, there are seraphims, there are many kind of forms of angels or angelic beings. And in heaven ye are as angels, that is in the spirit, you are spiritual sons of God. And those sons of God is going to marry this body. For the sons of God shall marry the church, and they're going to be manifested as that life in the mortal body. For this is called the creature, and this is the beastly part that is subjected to vanity. Can't be subject to the things of God. It has to be killed by Calvary. And through faith you accept that as to the death, delivered for offenses, and raised again for justification as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Members in particular, a new creature, a new world. So All things have become new. By faith, calling those things that are not as though they are, we accept them as of right now and draw the benefits of them. And this wonderful Son of God on the inside shall be manifest as the children of God in this body. Being children, then are we partakers of to the benefit. All things ours through Christ. And this inward man, the woman, really no male or female in Christ, the Son of God shall be manifest in your mortal genes as to the glory of God. We don't know each other after the flesh. We just know each other after the Spirit. But there's coming a time when this body's going to be changed. And this glory as to this heavenly treasure that's already in the earthen vessel shall be made manifest as the life of Christ in your mortal genes to the wonderful change of the Son of God that shall outshine the brightness of the new day. All right, so we hurried through tonight. We're just a little bit fast. My wife, she fusses when I do that, but just trying to get over it just a little bit. Seems like it's so hard. It takes, you have to say so many things just to get over just a little bit. And that makes it real difficult to be able to tell you about the wonderful words of life and this glorious creature that you're going to be. You're going to be such a lovely creature, such as you never dreamed of being. And so wonderful, so outstanding it's going to be. As in these things. So, in this world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the things as pertaining to the image of the beast as the flesh. These things belong to the world, and they belong to Satan. But you belong to God, and you're going to outshine the brightness of the noonday, and you're going to be great and mighty. You already are. It just hasn't been made manifest to those that are around you. It just hasn't been made manifest as of yet. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Satan will do anything to interfere with the services. Let's sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Precious Savior, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. So, can you sing this with me? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Be thee my Lord, I need thee every hour. And I need thee now, precious Savior. For oh, how I need thee. Let's sing it like this now. So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away. Oh, he has come back to your hearts once again. So let Jesus in to stay. Oh, how you'll need him,
just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear His loving voice, and don't turn Him away. Let's sing like this now. Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. The altars are open. While we're singing, let's gather around the altar tonight. Worship the Lord for a few minutes. Spirit and in truth, God is a spirit, and the Bible teaches that He is seeking such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Told the woman at the well. She said, our fathers worship in this mountain. He said, but lady, our daughter, our woman. He said, the time has come. The time has come. The time now is that the true worshipers shall worship God in spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit, and God seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And God is a spirit. And Jesus said to the scribes and to the Pharisees, you look for God and you look for a kingdom with eyes of observation. Said, but the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. The kingdom of God is within you. Christ, the kingdom of God. Christ in you, the hope of the wonderful glories of the everlasting God. So then let's sing this verse together. What can I give Him of all He has given? Oh, what can I offer, my Lord? Sing that with me. I don't have riches, a mansion, or a palace. So what can I offer, my Lord? For this is footstool, and heaven is His throne, and the cattle of a thousand hills, my Lord already owns. All that I have, it was His from the start. What can I offer the Lord but my heart? Let's sing this little chorus together. Just taking a moment to tonight to worship the Lord. I claim Jesus, first of all. He will answer me when I call. For I know I am a child, the Son set free. I can't keep up with the style, but I know I'm God's own child. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. Sing it with me. I claim Jesus first of all. He's gonna answer me when I call. For I know that I am a child, the sun set free. I can't keep up with the style, but I know I'm God's own child. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. One more time. We claim Jesus first of all. God's gonna answer us when we call. For we know that we're those children God set free. I can't keep up with the style, but I know that I'm God's own child. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. And he was here all the time. My Lord was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here all the time, and he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joys that flood my soul. Something has happened. And now I know that Jesus touched me, and he made me whole. Let's sing this little chorus. They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands that's afar, to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, and the glow with his light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace, and we're gems in his crown to shine. So they came from the east and the west. They came from the land that's afar, to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, and the glow with the light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace, and we're gems in his crown. One more time. So they came from the east and the west, and they came from the land that's afar, to feast with the King and to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, and the glow with his light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace, and we're gems in his crown to shine. I read in the Bible where God so loved sinners, gave his Son to die in their place, and he gave his life on the cruel cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for
wonderful, marvelous grace.
Thank God.
Thank God.
There's a bridge over the river. Someday I'm gonna see with him all my death forever. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace. I read where he said, let not your heart trouble. I go to prepare you a place. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, with pure walls of jasper. Thank the Lord for our marvelous grace. Thank God. There's a bridge over the river someday. Gonna see his sweet face.
With him,
gonna find that forever. Thank the Lord for his marvelous, one more time.
Marvelous grace.
Thank God, there's a bridge over the river someday. Gonna see his sweet face.
With him, gonna
find that forever. Thank the Lord for his marvelous. Somebody say hallelujah. Go to abide with him forever. Can we sing just another course or two before we go tonight? Being the last night of the meeting, let's just sing another course or two and worship the Lord together tonight. I believe you love the Lord. Gone. And the stone, it's rolled back. Gone. And the tomb, it's empty. To sit at my Father's side. Give me a little more, Chuck. Gone. Over death triumphant. Gone. Sin is defeated. Gone. I'm alive forevermore. Sing it again now. Oh, he's gone. The heart of stone. Back. Gone. My fleshly tomb, it's empty. Gone. To sit at my Father's side. For he's gone. All the death triumphant. Gone. Sin is defeated. Gone. I'm alive forever. Oh. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Although the world seems looping long, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. But if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry on. 'Cause I'm working. Working the road to glory, helping the weak and the blind. Want to smooth out the road that leads to heaven up above and make it easy for someone behind. That road to heaven is straight and also narrow. The gate around the trials of every kind. I want to smooth out the snares at end. Offer my prayers to make it easy for those that's behind. We keep working the roads to glory. Working the roads to glory. Helping the weak. I want to smooth out the road that leads to heaven up above and make it easy for those that are behind. Let's sing this little chorus. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Good enough for me. It makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. And good enough for me. Oh, give me that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion.
clean up for me. It makes me love everybody. Love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Love everybody, and it's good enough for me. I want that old-time religion. I want that old-time religion. I want that old-time religion, 'cause it's good enough for me. You.